This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports.
Well, we're going to excuse you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
Happy opening day, Brock. It's here, finally, March 28th. Little early, right? Not into April quite yet. The weather is not exactly what you would hope for a home opener, but that's why they got a roof. And actually, it's not supposed to rain all day. So hopefully we'll get a little bit of sunshine. Hopefully you get one of those afternoons that is better than it's supposed to be here, like yesterday. And hopefully it kind of holds off. But today is opening day, an opportunity to see this new Mariner team in action for the first time for real. And yeah, doesn't matter what's happened in the past. It's opening day and I'm excited. Can't wait.
Yeah, so you go flannel, huh? Opening day flannel.
Well, I went opening day button down, I guess.
Okay, opening day. Yeah, I mean, last night laid my clothes out like I do before every opening day. I honestly was when I was a kid. I remember some of my first baseball games and putting my uniform out, you know, before that first game. So last night I did. I laid out my Simply Seattle, just super soft, cozy hoodie, had my spring training hat on. Like I'm gonna be ready to go. Now I know it's at night. I know it's not a day game. Yeah. I know you're not jamming over there, so you'll have plenty of time to get into your gear, get ready to go, eat your Mitch Witch.
But let's be clear, Salk is the only one not repping right now.
Yeah. I don't have anything.
Yeah. You have your Salk jersey. You're gonna wear your Mariners jersey,
I don't
right?
Wear that. Has my name on.
Brock, I was so excited that I just slept through an alarm.
Yeah.
How excited
he
I was.
He put his gear on last night and just went to sleep.
I was up all night excited and obviously was just too excited to get here on time.
I mean, I'm an adult, so I don't have a lot of
you
gear.
You did what?
I was too excited.
Was this a first? This is the first since I've been back. Yeah. Oh, this is the first since I've been back.
Yeah.
And we know G's been talking about his get up for like 3 months. So wait till he just barges in like a tornado with his opening day outfit.
I'm already disturbed. just thinking about it. No, I'm going to go to the press box for a while today. Can't wear that into the press box. So, here I am.
No, you're a pro. No, I got it.
No cheering in the press box.
Well, no wearing Mariner team colors. But, you know, since I work for the team and Stanton pays me directly, I got to at least maintain a little bit of credibility here by not repping the actual gear.
You know what? I'm going to get you a Mariner's jersey with Stanton on the back.
Yeah, just get me a little team employee jersey since that's essentially what I am.
Tommy La Stella pin.
Yeah. If you have an opportunity, you can go read some thoughts about this. I'll get into them a little bit more deeply here.
It was a great article, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm poking fun at your attire, and we are all having a little fun on opening day. It was a great article, and not just because you somehow, some way, we poisoned in it and through it, but I thought your analogies were spot on. I thought you're just such a good writer.
Oh, thank you.
How do you get into writing mode? How do you do that?
Just start typing.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
You just click like that.
Yep.
Like, I have to have quiet. I have to have thought about it before. I've got a process. Usually, I write notes down before I start typing. So, you just sit on that computer and just go.
I just start typing.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's always kind of worked for me that way. I mean, a little bit of an outline when I was writing an essay. But for the most part, just start typing. And all right, fine. We'll talk about that now. And we can kind of run through some of this sound at 7:30. This is a tough one, man. This Mariner opening day feels a little bit different from a lot of the others. And you mentioned the word scars yesterday, Brock, and that kind of got my mind kind of revving because I do feel like there's a lot of scar tissue left from last year. And as I thought through it, the scars is a close analogy, but really what it is scab. It's scabbing over. We're not at a point yet where it's scarred over. Right? We're at a point where it's still kind of fresh and it's scabbing over, but every time Jordan Montgomery signs with the Diamondbacks, it's like somebody picks that scab off and the damn thing starts bleeding again.
Yeah, so the kind of the frustrations, right? After making the playoffs, after pushing the Astros, after winning the playoff series, after all of that, right? And then just kind of the, oh my gosh, the amount of goodwill and the amount of motion and emotion, as you wrote in your article, like, hey, man, it is cyclical, right? In spring is when things come back to life.
Hope,
and then and then the season after 20 years through the desert, we finally are able, and we felt it, man. We felt it through these microphones. We felt it in this city. We felt all of that emotion, like this thing is here, and this young core is here, and this team is revved, and it is now not competing for wild card. This is a World Series, and then –
And then it didn't happen last year.
Last year was hard.
And I think a lot of it gets overblown. I've said this many times. I love Larry Stone, but I think writing that that was the most dislikable Mariner team in history was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And soon after he wrote it, they had two of the best months they've ever had. Like, I thought that was unfair, and honestly, I love Larry and respect him to no end. Tremendous baseball person. I thought that was wrong. Just like I was wrong to say that they were a World Series team right at the beginning of the year. I think we both got them wrong in various ways. I think every time I hear somebody say they were a bad team, except they had one good month in August, I think, well, maybe they were a good team and they just had one bad month in May. I mean, like, it just, I don't think it was as bad as it was portrayed. But at the end of the day, it led to a tremendous amount of frustration from the players, from the fans, then Jerry DePoto's comments, then the offseason, the way it began into December. Things were ugly a couple of months ago. They're not ugly today. They're not. Today is opening day. A lot of that stuff is starting to scab over. Hopefully it will become scars. You're not going to forget it. It's not going to go away forever. It is going to be part of the story of this year's team as well, because you can't just erase the past. But what you can do is be open-minded to the future. And I am absolutely open-minded to where this team goes. The last line of my article says it's time to let the 2024 team speak for itself rather than having to answer for the sins of its predecessors. And I really do believe that. I stumbled upon it as I was writing yesterday, Brock. Sometimes that's cathartic for me. Sometimes it allows me to think and kind of put my thoughts into, crystallize them a little bit better. And I think that's honestly where I land on this team. I want them to have their own voice. I want them to have their own chance to decide what kind of a team they want to be, rather than being held to whatever last year or the year before did. I think they're a very good team. Do I think they're better than last year? They can absolutely end up with a better record. They're different. They're built differently. They have different strengths. They have a few different weaknesses. And then they have a nucleus that is the same, but is a year older and very much capable of doing more than they did a year ago. So I'm excited today. I'm excited about this team. I am filled with hope. I am filled with anticipation for seeing what it looks like, for seeing Mitch Garver out there, for seeing Jorge Polanco, for finding out what the heck third base is going to look like, for seeing if Mitch Haniger can be the player that he was rather than what he was last year, to see Luke Rayleigh for the first time, to see if Dominic Canzone is real, to watch this rotation in action that everyone and their mother thinks is the best that in baseball right now, and to see how it's going to finish out in the bullpen and whether these guys are going to be able to blow smoke the way it has been for the last few years. So I'm pumped, man. This is opening day, and there's every reason to be excited today.
And is that why Justin overslept?
Yes.
Honestly,
100%.
Justin. Was it just the amount you read Salk's article late last night before you went to bed, and then you couldn't fall asleep, and then about 3 in the morning you fell asleep, and then you just woke up and were like, oh, my gosh.
I think what it was my body and my brain saying, hey, you really need this extra 35 minutes. It's because it's a big day. Because I'm working tonight and tomorrow night at the ballpark. It's like, you really need this, and so I should be exempt from having to sing because it was like part of, you know, my body actually required it.
No,
it wasn't an accident.
Actually, you're going to sing, right, Maura? Right. He's going to sing.
Oh, it's hold on. If I'm the only one that has to sing when I'm late, I'm going to HR.
But Maura's so good.
That seems discriminatory.
No, you're going to be singing. And Salk, honestly, that soliloquy right there was like three minutes of, there is great intrigue. Like, I listened to all of that, and I'm following along with all of it and nodding along with all of it. Like, oh, yeah, yep, there's that, and then there's that, and then there's that, and then there's those individuals, and then there's the collection. Mm-hmm. And this young core, I mean, at some point, a young core is no longer your young core. Your young core is your foundation.
Yep.
Right? We watched that with the other championship team in town. They were a young core, and then they became a championship team, and then they became the foundation.
Like, and teams do it younger than they used to. And so, yeah, they may be the fifth youngest roster when it's all said and done here this year, but they're perfectly capable of with enough experience now to do anything they need to do. Are the scars of last year still present for me? Yes. I'm not going to predict the Mariners are going to the World Series. Heck, I'm so scarred I might not make any predictions at all.
Yeah, you didn't even vote in my poll, did you? You didn't even want to vote in my poll.
You had a poll?
I had a poll last night.
I didn't even see your poll.
Yeah, I put a poll last night, and it said, Mariner fans, on the eve of the season opener, how confident are you? The hometown team will miss the playoffs, win a wild card, win the West, or go to the World Series?
Win the wild card, win?
42%.
Yeah.
42% win the wild card.
Yep. They feel like a wild card. 16%
win the West. 7% go to the World Series. So 65% think that this is a playoff team.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. Yeah, they do feel to me like probably one of the wild card teams. All right, let's take a quick break, Brock. We're going to be talking about these guys all morning long. We got a ton of sound. It's opening day. There's a lot of reason to be really excited. Katie Griggs will join us at 9. Even better, Nelson Cruz at 9:30. I love this. I'm so excited to talk to Nelly. We'll do that a little bit later. It's Brock and Salk. Stick around. Seattle Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, there are certain great days, happy days, wonderful days on the sports calendar, Brock, but there is nothing more so than today. It is, let's say it together, opening day. The start of a six-month marathon. You know it's going to have twists. You know it's going to have turns. You know it's going to have ups and downs. There is nothing like a baseball season. Can't wait to be at the park this afternoon. Brock, I can tell you.
Yes.
I have inside sources. The bunting is up. The bunting is up and ready. Nelson Cruz is going to be throwing out the first pitch. He's going to join us at 9:30. Yes. Julio's going to be in the lineup. Tim Kirchen can't wait. They asked him yesterday, hey, what's his ceiling?
I'm not sure there is one. I mean, look at the track record. Look at those first two seasons. It's ridiculous how good he has been. He has been historically good when it comes to power and speed combination, and to do it at his age is amazing. And the reason there is no ceiling is his work ethic, and I know this all sounds corny, is second to none. His level of focus is amazing for a young player.
I'm glad he brings up the level of focus, because I do think that was a challenge for him last year, not because he was unfocused, but because it was a new experience for him, and the All-Star game was here, and he had to learn a little bit how to block out some of the not just noise, but just the requests for him to be everywhere. And you can't do all of that at once and continue to be the player he wants to be. I think this is going to be a special season for him.
Okay, I'm going to take this three ways really quickly here. Number one, bunting, for those of you that maybe were like me 15 years ago when I thought, what do you mean bunting? Small ball on opening day, like swing for the fences? No, the bunting is the beautiful American flag and how it is shaped there all over the stands. And it's just, it's gorgeous all over baseball. And that's number one. Number two, there is a difference between being a junior and a freshman. You said that the other day, your first year, then your second year, and then your third year. And for anybody that played sports, even through high school, like your sophomore year to your junior year to your senior year, like, yeah, man, I've grown into it. Yeah, I feel that strength. And then lastly, the difference between Kirkjian and Passan. Passan will tell you the ceiling is 45-45. 45 steals, 45 home runs. And when we saw this guy in spring, I'm not going to say grown man strength. He's still only 23 years old. But I do think that power is going to come alive this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Row four with the Red Sox will start tonight. Cleveland comes in after that. Neither of those teams are really expected to be playoff teams this year. So if you're looking to get off to a good start, this is certainly a nice opportunity to try to do that.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Maybe got a little bit lost in the shuffle with everything else going on in college, Brock, but UW did bring in their new basketball coach, Danny Sprinkle, and he spoke yesterday. He's born in Pullman. Most recently, of course, was leading the Utah State team. He's excited to be here.
The immense pool of candidates they had here, this is an elite job. And, you know, transitioning to the Big Ten, I know it's no small task, and I know me and my staff and our program will be up for it. And, you know, super excited to work with Pat Chun. You know, I'm new, but he's newer. And so it's just exciting time. And I know change is sometimes difficult for everybody, but, you know, in order for growth, there has to be change too. And we're really excited about that.
It really is kind of a strange story.
It's just, all of this is just so strange.
It really
is
strange.
You just step back like 10 years, like, hey, you know, here's where you guys are going to be in 10
really
years.
Strange.
Or even 15 years ago. 15 years ago, we were talking to Orange Bloods, and we're talking about Oklahoma and Texas and the expansion of the Pac-16. And then you fast forward all these years, there's no longer even a conference. You know, these coaches have 45-minute interviews. This guy's hired, basically, by an AD that's no longer here. I mean, it's just... Yeah, the wheel just keeps on spinning. Pat Chun expected to have his press conference at 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, in the meantime, I love this this sound from Steve Belichick, because they also met with the media yesterday. A lot going on Montlake, because Pat Chun's going to meet everyone today. But they asked Steve Belichick, hey, what's the difference between you and your dad?
I got a job and he doesn't. he knows that. But yeah, I mean, I look up to my dad. He's a mentor to me, but I'm myself. And
I like that. What a great answer.
That's Jed Fish cackling along. Huh?
Was, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Everybody Jed, thought that Jed was very
leading,
funny.
Leading the charge. Going to be quite a clinic scene over there, from John Schneider to Bill Belichick to Pete Carroll. Going to be hanging around. They have their spring ball starting, so they have a clinic there for all the high school coaches. Should be pretty well attended. Quite a bit of power when it comes to the game of football.
Absolutely. Tournament action tonight. Gonzaga takes on number one Purdue at 4:40. Purdue a 5.5-point favorite. They're good. They're real good. And that dude they've got is an absolute creature. 7'4". Zach Edey. Yeah, he is very, very impressive.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Brock, I got to keep playing this Jim Harbaugh quote. For anybody who's wondering why I was so invested in the idea of the Seahawks getting Jim Harbaugh, this is why. He was asked why the offensive line is so important.
The offensive line to me is important. I mean, if I asked you the question of, like, what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good. You know, what position group is that? Offensive line. They're not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good. And then the D-line, they'll be the ones that argue back. Ah, we don't need the offensive line to be good. Do you? Do you like it? You like when the offense has a 12-play drive?
He was putting on a lesson yesterday, and that was resonating, I know, with you and every offensive lineman out there. And think about his track record of doing it, Saul. Mm-hmm. He did it at a place down in San Diego. You ever been to the University of San Diego?
No.
It is gorgeous.
Of course it is. Everything in San Diego is gorgeous.
Yeah, but it sits on top of the hill, and it's extra gorgeous. And if you can do it there, and then if you could do it at Stanford, where when he inherited that job, I had taken a recruiting trip. Their weight room was full of stuff that Bill Walsh used in the 80s. It was like aerobic stuff. It was air pressure. It was ridiculous. He did it. He built an intellectual brutality at Stanford. Mm-hmm. And then the 49ers, and then Michigan. Like, everywhere he has been, there is no debate. Those Chargers are going to be very good at the line of scrimmage.
All right. That is everything you need to know. 4:15 every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. Justin is going to have to sing today. For those of you just joining us, Justin was late this morning, overslept, and took a text at 5:55 or so that woke him up, and the next thing you know, he was 20 minutes late to work.
He denies that.
Yeah, he can deny it all he wants. He didn't get here until...
text did not wake me up.
Well, it seems like it did.
I think Goldie one time when he was in for you, Salk, ranked like the best songs in ballparks.
Yeah.
Like, for opening day, he's going to have to do something along those lines.
Don't worry, I'm working on it.
All right, he's working on it. He will do some singing in the 8 o'clock hour, I promise. We're going to take some calls from you guys an hour from now. Your thoughts heading into this season, how you feel about this team. Katie Griggs, Mariners president, will join us at 9. Nelson Cruz, the Boomstick, at 9:30 this morning. Up next, though, there are a lot of reasons to be excited, but you don't have to listen to us. Listen to them. It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Are you ready for baseball, Brock? Are you ready to be consumed by baseball? Because that's really what it does more than anything else. It consumes you. This is the time of the year of hope. This is the time of year for excitement. This is the time of year where we welcome back baseball.
Someone once said, you don't grip a baseball. A baseball grips you. It fills our days and brightens our nights. Over the course of a season and the span of a lifetime. We share a hope, drama, and joy. It brings us all closer together, 9 innings at a time. It's the game we live. It's the game we love. Welcome back, baseball. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Ooh. For sure. Thank you to the great Dave. Ooh. Niehaus. Miss him every day, and certainly on a day like today, he would have enjoyed Julio Rodriguez. I think about that often. He would have enjoyed this pitching staff and what they're capable of. I think he would have really enjoyed Cal Raleigh. But I just keep coming back. He would have loved to have had the opportunity to watch Julio every day. And yes. And we're all lucky to do so. This guy is special, man. He really is just a different kind of a dude. He's better than the average bear. He is the reason why this team has the chance to do whatever they can do this year. He's what sets them apart. And I think that just, you know, we can talk about all the other things on the periphery, but in the middle of all of it, it's always Julio.
Yep, there's a lot of great players, amazing players. And these guys, when you watch them up close and personal, as you've got a chance to watch baseball, from youth baseball to high school baseball to college baseball, by the way, which is flourishing, awesome, minor league baseball. And then you see the skill set of these pros, the hand-eye coordination and the, you know, just the talent it takes, the hours it takes to get to this kind of point. And then you're overwhelmed by a generational talent. And Dave had that, and Ricky had it, and Ken Griffey Jr. And they got to see that big old smile, as many of us did, as we go back to the early 80s and mid 80s, late 80s, and got to see Ken with his dad. And you just saw it from the jump. Salk, you just knew it from the beginning. It was the real thing. This guy is just different than the rest. And his teammates would often talk about that, and Buehner and Wilson and those guys. Like, Griffey's just, he's just different, man. His skill set's just different. And to have that generational player once again roaming center field, pretty darn special.
Well, he's pretty excited. I know that. He felt like last year was good, but not enough.
I mean, there is more to do. There is more to do. That's kind of how I feel. And like, I feel like that's not a secret for anybody. Or if it's a secret, like, I want to win. You know, that's just the plain and simple like that. I want to win, and I want to do whatever needs to be done to win. And there is more to do. That's how I felt. Okay, we had that really good year. We ended the drought, but I didn't want to just end the drought. I wanted to win. I was in there. We were all in there. So I feel like that's the only thing that I can think about. That there is more to do until we get to where we want again. Like, every single year is being a building block for that. And yeah, a lot of people will say, "Oh, you guys fell out of the playoff," but there is a lot of growing into losing sometimes. So I'm excited for that.
At first, I wasn't sure which show that was from, but then I heard the basketballs in the background. Oh, and I was very sure it was from ours.
You knew exactly where it was. I time-stamped it perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between Griffey is he grew up in baseball. He grew up around it with his dad. And even from an early age, was able to kind of build that circle around him, right? And Julio's been different. Julio's circle has been the fans. It has been the people. I think, honest to goodness, as much joy as he has playing the game, we've said this a lot. Today on opening day, when he runs out to a packed house, he is there for the fans. He loves this city. He loves this place in a unique way, and he wants that moment again. He wants to taste that success again, but I don't think it's just individually. It's for the collection of his teammates, and honest to goodness, man, it's for all those fans that adore him and talk to him and hang out with him every day out there in center field.
I would say he really truly means that when he says it and believes it and truly acts that way. It's pretty amazing. This pitching staff we know is going to be great. The question for the last few years has been, where will the offense be? Can it meet the standard that the pitching is setting? And when we spoke to Cal Raleigh in spring training, he made it pretty clear they believe they can do that.
I think it's going to be huge. You know, even if it helps us win one more game, you see where that could have got us last year, right? I mean, I think it's going to be huge for us. And, you know, personally, you know, guys are tired of hearing, you know, our pitching staff is so great. They're carrying us. And by all means, they are. And they are great. And they did carry us the past 2-3 years. But, you know, we want to start pulling our, you know, into the bargain. We want to start helping them out, you know, make some games easier for them. Maybe take a few less innings off a guy that could maybe keep him a little more fresher, you know, later in the season. Maybe not have that pressure, you know, come August or September of like, all right, every game is do or die. We need to win this game.
What's that face?
was What's Cal up? Afraid to say pulling weight? Pulling our, it seemed like he kind of didn't want to say weight. Is he feeling some shyness about being the big dumper?
I don't think so.
I don't know. There's something about the way he said, like, it sounds like he hesitated.
He just did a whole dump truck ad. I know. He seemed pretty into it.
Maybe it's all, I don't confident. Know. Maybe he was feeling a little,
well, remember, that was like shy. Well, that was a few days after the see-through pants.
Right. I mean,
let's be clear. There was kind of a lot of stuff going on in that early part of spring training. I will say, man, that's one of my favorite, honestly, is I was looking at the collection ear of sound that Maura put together last night. Thank you. Amazing email, Myra, Maura. And as I was looking at those, I was reminded how much I like that sound because there is a little footballism to it. And Cal and I get along, and he loves football and college football in particular. But there's a little football to that. Like, hey, man, we're carried by this Legion of Boom. It's all about the defense, all about the defense. No, Russ and Marshawn are pretty good too. Oh, we're carried by this offense. The greatest show on turf. No, our defense is pretty complimentary too. And that Rams defense with the greatest show on turf was pretty complimentary. So this offense wants to be a compliment and not an afterthought. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that also came from the conversation that's the question there was actually about Brant Brown and some of the new offensive strategy and what that looks like. And the fact that they're starting to buy into that, I think, is awesome. Mitch Haniger returning is another wonderful storyline that, you know, we spent quite a bit of time on when we were down in the desert. The fact that he had like the world's best spring training sure didn't hurt. I mean, just clubbing home runs. His first at bat of the spring was a home run. His last at bat of the spring was a home run. He just tore the pitching apart down there. But more than that, it's just how, I don't know, sort of the perspective he has as somebody who has left a job and then come back to it. I kind of understand a little bit of where he's coming from, right? It feels different when you go somewhere else, it doesn't go the way you want it to, and then you get a second chance to come back to a place that you call home. I love this for Mitch Haniger, who's now a leader, who is now a true older veteran who's been there and been around a little bit, and he looks at this from an outsider's perspective and says, yeah, it's a pretty good team.
It's great. I just think there's one guy shouldn't, you know, feel like he has to carry the whole team. And I remember a lot of times in 21, it was like, all right, we better score with 1 through 4, 1 through 5, or else we don't really have a shot. And like I said earlier, thank God we pitched really well, and we've always been good at winning one run games, so we were able to win a lot that way. But it's gonna be a little easier not having to rely on our pitchers so much, and not having to rely on the guys just hitting the top or the middle of the order. I think the bottom of the order can produce well too.
You know, we've said this about certain commentators through the years, like Al Michaels in his 70s is different than Al Michaels in his 50s, because he's like, I've been there and I've done it, and I have a freedom to say whatever I want to say, that I probably wouldn't have said these things right when I was in my 50s, but I sure can
Brett
now.
Brett Musburger is probably the best example
of that. And Brett Musburger way up there as well. Like, this game stinks right now. I'm not even going to try to put lipstick on it. I think that there is something to a Mitch Haniger that when you've made it, and it is hard, folks. It's hard to get to that point in baseball. It's hard to get through 6 years and, you know, where they own all of your rights. And there's arbitration in those final three. And then to finally get a payday, it's hard to get there. And he got there. And then to get a payday at a place that just didn't really fit. And goodness gracious, now I get to get back to the place that I loved. And I do think you feel just some of that freedom that comes with that. Is there pressure? Sure. If he starts out 0 for 11, is he going to be bothered and look up at the board? Sure there is. But there also, I think now at this stage and at that age, there is a freedom to just go play and let the results be what they are.
I think all that is incredibly well said. So, yeah, it's a fun team. There are some fun players on it. It's been nice kind of just revisiting some of the things we've heard from these guys. Some of them are serious, like what we've played. Some of them are a little more fun.
Absolutely. Bring it on. I'm going to rake your face.
That's J.P. Crawford, who's very... Wow. All right. Easy, J.P.
Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia.
That's actually not bad. That's Logan Gilbert. That's not terrible. You got a little bit of a
not
little,
bad.
Yeah.
I was asking though.
I saw Kevin Hart on.
You have to retire that song now, though, after Kellner kind of adopted it last year.
Yeah. Did he ruin it now? He kind of ruined it for everybody. That's Julio, as you know. Remember when we asked Julio how good his life was?
It's pretty good being Julio Rodriguez, isn't it?
It's odd.
That's a pretty good answer.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Here's some more J.P. Crawford for you guys.
Oh, gassed up, shotties.
All right, there you go. And then let's finish with one more final one.
Let's party!
Oh, no, that's not nice. Scott hopefully isn't awake yet. Hopefully he doesn't have to hear that, because the let's party thing, that's just a tough one. Nobody should have to hear that replayed about themselves over and over again.
I love it.
You want some, I got some other Scott, though. He does like this team, and since we started talking about Julio, I'll give you a little bit more. Here is Scott on the team, but specifically on his star center fielder.
The way our offseason played out, we've added some very impactful players into our lineup. We needed to maybe have a little bit different look to our offensive team, and we have. I feel very confident it's going to play out well for us, and I think our players, the ones that were here last year, see that those additions as guys have a chance to be key contributors for us, and we needed it. So we're in a good spot. We have a long ways to go, and there'll be some ups and downs along the way, but I like our team. I like our team's wired. This team, like I keep saying, they got something to prove.
We haven't spent a ton of time talking about Scott recently, Brock.
No.
But if this team does indeed succeed, if they get back to the playoffs, if they do win 90 games or more, if they do find a way to advance and do more than some people expect them to as of today, Scott's going to play a pretty major role. And, and the story of him going to all of these guys' homes in the offseason will become even more of a narrative because of the success that obviously it will have had.
Well, kind of just like those players evolve out of a young core into a foundation. You know, I think when you have all this homegrown talent, you know, Daniel Jeremiah and I both love that word, connective tissue. You have a lot of it with this skipper and these players. And that should, man, that should create an immense amount of trust and belief in one another, confidence in one another, all that good stuff that comes out of continuity. And I know that's something I want to ask Katie about at 9 o'clock, and how important that's been with Jerry and Scott and so much of this team being on task together now, not for a year or 2 years, but 3, 4 plus years. And I'll say this too. We spent a lot of, well, I'm saying like the Julios and this young pitching core and those guys, the foundational pieces have now been at it 3, 4 years at the big league level together. Cal running the show. I said this a lot last year, and I remember you, I think, even wrote about it at one point, of how much was on Julio and that there just was not enough cover in the lineup. The, you know, how much was asked of him, man, as you know, as you look back on it, did we protect him enough in the lineup? And I think now when you bring a Polanco in around him, when you bring a Garver in around him, when you bring a Mitch in who he trusts a lot, and you start to surround, Julio's got a lot more cover around him, which should, again, free him up to have a year that Jeff Passan thinks could be off the charts.
Yeah, I think that combined with, again, just being his third year, right? Kind of going through the sophomore slump, dealing with the All-Star game, dealing with some of those distractions, and then eventually figuring out how to block out some of the excess. It's not noise. Again, I you want to say excess noise because that's sort of the, like, the cliche. But it's not really the noise. I think it's just the demands on his time.
The weight.
Yeah, and starting to learn how to handle all those things. And he's clearly doing that and managing to do all of it while retaining that incredible smile that sets Julio apart from everybody else. So just some thoughts from them, not just from us, but from the guys who are going to be playing today. Can't wait. Opening day tonight at the ballpark. Game starts just after 7. It's time for Blue 88.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88! Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Heward breaks down 3 football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Well, it does feel a little early for win totals, seeing as we haven't even had the draft yet, but there are early Vegas win totals for the Seahawks, Brock. Yep. What are they, and what should we make of them?
Yeah, they're down a little bit. They're down at about 7.5, 7 to 7.5, depending on what you're looking at, and that's down from a year ago, where I think they were about 8.5. But around their division, Arizona is only a game behind them at 6.5, and you're looking up at the Rams and you're looking up at the Niners. And remember, this kind of time last year and after the draft and everything else, it was John Lynch and San Fran saying, the Seahawks are on our heels. Right? There's a lot of people after a year where there was no rebuild and they made the playoffs, like, here come the Seahawks. Man, they just never really rested with Pete, and they just were right back to it and got the comeback player of the year. Yeah, and there's a little different vibe. Not too dissimilar to these Mariners. Like, no, you're going to be improvement mode. you're going to be in improvement mode. You got a really young, new regime and everything else, new eyes on the whole product. The play and the scheme is going to be very different offensively, defensively, with the rule changes, even in the special teams. But with a lot of that newness does not come a lot of expectation necessarily out of Vegas. Mm. Now, this isn't 3.5. This isn't 4.5. But at 7.5, Salk, I think there were only 5 or 6 teams with a lower win total. Mm. So that puts you kind of in the low 20s. If it was based on a power ranking to your win total, you'd be about 22, 23 in the league. So there's some work to be done in this draft.
Kind of where I see it.
Do you?
Yeah.
22nd, 23rd?
Maybe a little higher than that, but yeah. I mean, I don't see them as a top 10 team right now, that's for sure, and top 15 is probably going to be a stretch as well. Maybe I see it as sort of the 18, 19, 20 range, but yeah. I
think that's some work to do in this draft, man, to continue to add to this roster, no question about it.
All right, question number two. Sam Howell's guy on this roster. We spoke with him yesterday for the first time. I liked your question about the defense and what he saw out of Mike McDonald's defense. And then, you know, we've heard McDonald now speak about it a little bit. What do you feel like you know about it?
Yeah, it was pretty cool, actually, in listening to him. The Seahawks perspective of competing against him played a big role. John Schneider's talked about that when we actually got to go up against him and see him and compete against him. And the dude thrived, played one of his best games. And Sam said, yeah, that probably did play a role. And then you also throw in the fact that Mike McDonald, not just in one exhibition game, but when you do that, you scrimmage against each other for 2 or 3 days leading up to that preseason game. And that scrimmaging is maybe even more of a tell than it is that actual game action. And, you know, you listen to Sam talk about this defense. It was hard. It was full of blitz. It was full of pressure. It was full of illusion. It was full of multiplicity. It was full of things, Salk, that I have been clamoring for a lot of years. You know that. Jake Heaps, when he was on these airwaves, KJ Wright, Coach K even, you know, just talked about, hey, man, we gotta do more. You're showing Sam Howell your cards defensively too many times, and he's throwing for 300 yards against you. This defense will be much, much more complex. It's why I brought in a bunch of veteran pieces. I think we'll continue to do so after this draft. And with that becomes what I call a blur. You just don't know what you're looking at. It's a blur defensively with a lot of interchangeable pieces. And for me, I am really excited to watch that play itself out.
All right, question number three. Rome Odunze deciding not to work out. How come?
Hayes in the barn, man. I don't think there's anything he can do from a workout standpoint. Unlike a lot of his peers, Malik Nabers, Harrison, the guys in the upper altitude who didn't do anything at the combine, Malik Nabers had to run yesterday. And he ran anywhere from mid-4.4, so pretty similar to Odunze at his pro day down at LSU yesterday. And Rome Odunze did every drill, competed, ran, jumped, caught the ball, all the videos there. I don't think there's any reason for him to go out on Husky Pro Day, which is today. It's a big day over there, man. It's a big day in all of Seattle. It's opening day for the Mariners and for the Jack Westovers and the Michael Penixes and the other, number of Huskies that didn't even go to the combine. They're 13 total. There's still a few others that have aspirations to play at the next level. Today's the day they show out. I got a text from one of my buddies and a former Husky that's heading over there. And that's a big day, man. This is a big day. And I will be very curious here in a few hours. We'll get to know this answer. Did Panics run and jump? I said to you yesterday, I think you should. If he is fully healthy, if you want to tell everybody I am fully healthy and all those injuries are in my past, then go out and run and jump. Because I think he is a twitchy, athletic dude. And go run a 4.6 and go jump 35 inches and go remind these scouts and these teams that not only are those injuries in my past, I'm also a very, very, very good athlete. Maybe not Jaden and Caleb athleticism, but I am every bit of JJ and Bo. And he has a chance, if he wants to put on that show today.
Pretty great. Okay, that is today's Blue 88. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports here on 710seattlesports.com. You know what's depressing? The world is somewhat depressing.
I know, but hold, even before you say this, you know what I love about you?
What?
I love after all these years. Like, we're kind of like a married couple. You just kind of know. You know at times what I'm going to say. You know by my body language.
Right.
I know when I'm talking. Like, you're multitasking because that's what you got to do when you're the captain of the ship. Right? I'm just co-pilot. And I say that all the time. I love being the co-pilot, running around, doing all my stuff. You got to pilot a lot of things. But I love when I'm talking, and I know you're listening,
right,
and you're actively listening.
Yeah.
But I could also say, like, you know, Salk just poops pants. And you would probably not notice because you're also very actively reading the text toy.
Well, this isn't a text toy thing. But, I mean, I have a bunch of things to do over here, or a text, or
something that's sneaking in there.
There's a lot of things that you kind of have to do at once. That's part of this job, so being kind of a traffic cop. I spent all this time yesterday, Brock. You praised this great column that I wrote, and I appreciate that. Thank you. It's up at CLSports.com. Yes. Opening day, the Mariners tweeted out yesterday.
Yes.
And, you know, it gets viewed by a certain number of people.
Uh-huh.
More than twice as many people viewed the two pictures of my dog and her stupid umbrella.
That's what you were thinking about as he was talking about Romo Dunce's
pro day? That's what I was thinking about. Okay. Like, why do I even show up for work? Why? What is the point of doing anything? You spend time, like, I'm really, like, agonizing over every word of this column.
That's how Twitter works, though. Like, the views of your, like, who read your article, it's different than someone just watching a 10-second Twitter video.
Maura, why do we bother? Don't stop.
Text video,
stop,
I'm sorry.
Stop trying to throw logic at this. Why do we bother?
What was the overwhelming response to Gertie's very high-maintenance sweater umbrella combo?
Yeah.
Well, what was the overwhelming?
I think you may have a pretty good sense. A lot of people suggesting that I'm the one who's soft and that it was, you know, the dog never had a chance. I had nothing to do with this combination of things.
This was
100% the three women I live with. Yes. I had nothing to do with this one.
All I remember, quite honestly, was a video you sent to us before you were able to get Gertie because of that huge southern cold snap.
Right.
That there's poor Gertie and she's shivering.
I know, she's very cold.
She's very cold because it's very cold in Mississippi. And I'm like, wow, that's a good thing, man. That must toughen those dogs up. So this dog would be ready for whatever the Northwest got to throw at Gertie.
Not anymore.
No, not now.
Yeah. Rock, after what you just said, I think you need to now post like a secret word on X before we go into Blue 88 and then squeeze it in and we'll see if Salk notices.
Because
he obviously doesn't check. He didn't see your poll. He doesn't check that either.
No, that's true.
Don't check it that much. No. Yeah, not that much.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have a fun little game where I got to sneak a word in and see if Salk can pick up on it.
Who are you? I don't have any idea.
Okay, Walton.
All right. If you guys have a couple of minutes, maybe you can read the column I wrote instead of just looking at the pictures of my adorable dog and her stupid umbrella.
Maybe you should make Gertie pictures like the pictures for your columns.
Yeah, tell Brent about that. Brent, enough. Like, there's a Mitch Haniger picture on there. Nobody wants to look at Mitch.
Nope.
You know what, though? I was watching X-Men with the kids over the weekend, and I forgot how much Mitch used to look like Wolverine. Remember when he first got here and everybody was sort of obsessed with how he looked like Wolverine?
Oh, really?
It was like a whole thing. It was all everybody could talk about. Yeah, it was like he was sort of the, he kind of had the hair at that time. Yep. And then seeing him now, like, not anymore, man. Uh-uh. And Mitch is a grown man. Pretty excited for him to be out there and to get that ovation. I think he's going to get a huge ovation from the fans tonight. Always been a fan favorite and returning back to Seattle. I think that'll be a nice moment. Okay, back to baseball. Let's call it 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Because we want to make sure that Brock has a couple of minutes still to continue his draft profiles. The draft is still going to happen, even as baseball season begins. So stick around. Brock's got his early version of his draft profile for today, number 17. We'll be right back on Brock and Salk.